Read it before you, when you already have. Stand back there. Today's Brittany's birthday. How old are you, Brittany? 23 years old. Pretty much grew up riding one of our buses to church. And I'm glad everybody ever tell you, God kept you in the bus too. Never forget, Brother Ken Johns interviewed me on the radio one time years ago. He said, "Brother Eddie, I understand." He said, "You were a bus kid, right?" And I said, "No, sir." He said, "No, Brother Eddie, that's not so." He said, I know for a fact you were a bus kid." I said, "No, Brother Ken, I am a bus kid. And I always will be a bus kid. And as long as I'm around here, our buses are going to roll." Amen. 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 Thank God. I don't think every church will have a bus ministry. And it's not my job to say which church should have what ministry. But it is my job to say what this church should have. And it is ordained of God. We run buses and pick up boys and girls. Amen. Let's turn to Philippians chapter number 2 tonight. Philippians chapter number 2. This will be something that many of you, or a few of you, yes, what are you pointing at?
His birthday.
Who?
Yesterday.
Who?
Chris Smith.
Chris had a birthday yesterday. And Kay, that's right. Happy birthday, guys. Don't look for nothing, okay? I'm going to get you the same thing you got me. Although I think you did get me a Bobby now. Several of you probably heard this message before. I preached it or something very similar to it at least once a year. And it's simply because we need it. And I need it. Philippians chapter number 2, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." This scripture doesn't humble you if something's wrong with it. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." I'll back up and look at verse number 5 one more time, where the Bible said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What's he talking about? I think he's talking a little bit about an attitude.
Yeah.
A lot of times when we talk about attitude, we automatically equate that or aim that at our young people. "Hey, you need to check your attitude. Hey, young man, you need to straighten up and change your attitude." Can I get a witness? Every teenager in this room has probably heard mom and dad say, "You better watch that attitude. You better watch that attitude." And I'm going to be real honest with you tonight. Brother Freddie, I've seen worse attitudes out of adults than I ever have young people. Let that soak in just a little bit. Somehow we want to point at our children and say, "Do as I say, not as I do." It's okay for mama to have a bad attitude, but the teenage daughter better not have one. It's okay for daddy to have a bad attitude, but that teenage boy better not have a bad attitude. Are we all right? 9 times out of 10, the teenage girl with a bad attitude's got a mama with a bad attitude. 9 times out of 10, the boy with a bad attitude's got a daddy with a bad attitude. Are we all right? Let me tell you what your attitude is. Your attitude is nothing more than an outward expression of an inward feeling. Don't tell me how happy you are in Jesus and all you do is gripe, mumble, and complain.
Amen.
Amen. Out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible said the mouth speaketh.
That's right. Amen.
I don't have to be around you very long to find out what your attitude is. I don't know about you, but that is the one thing I have to work harder to keep in check in my life than anything else.
Yes,
it's easy to get a bad attitude. And let me just say, Christian, we have no excuse for walking around with a bad attitude.
Amen.
Amen. Let me say it again. We have no excuse. The Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you could not have a good attitude, God would have never asked you to. God would never ask you to do anything that you cannot selfishly, willfully do. If God said you better have a good attitude, then you can have a good attitude.
Right. Right.
Amen. Amen. Are we all right? What kind of attitude did Jesus have? Well, let's think about it just for a minute. John chapter number 13, we find in verses 3 through 5 where he knelt and he washed the disciples' feet. You remember that? Think about who he was. The King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. The Creator of heaven and earth.
Amen.
Holy and sinless.
Amen.
Humbled himself, bowed himself on the ground, and washed the dirty feet of his disciples. Our scripture text said tonight that he humbled himself and took on the form of a servant. Christ had nothing to prove. Absolutely nothing. He had nothing to lose. And he had nothing to hide. But yet he humbled himself to wash the feet of his disciples. Before I get to the message tonight, I want to make a couple of statements about your attitude. I want to look over the heads of our teenagers tonight and say, Mom and Dad, we need to check our attitude.
Amen.
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 You ever went into a store and you can just tell the kind of day the clerk's at, the cashier?
Oh, yeah.
I fly on airplanes all the time, and a lot of times I'll go, you know, I fly standby because Levi works for Delta, and I fly for free, and a lot of times I'll go to the gate prior to boarding, and I have my preference. I like an exit row because my legs are that long, and I like a window seat because I can lean up against the wall and go to sleep. And I can always tell whether or not I'm going to get that exit row window seat by the attitude of the lady or man standing behind the counter. You can tell the kind of day they're having. Amen. And I can tell the kind of day you're having just by being around you a few minutes. Listen, if you have a bad day, it is no excuse for you to have a bad attitude. Did you know it's possible to have the right attitude even in the midst of a bad situation? Amen. And I believe that we're expected to. Couple of things about your attitude. Number one, you only see what you're prepared to see or what you want to see. That's your attitude. Some of you came to church tonight with an attitude. Well, really all of us did. We came with a good attitude and we came with a bad attitude. You know what you'll get out of this service? Whatever you want. Whatever you want. Amen. You sit there and listen to that youth choir sing tonight, you had two choices. Get a blessing or criticize. Amen. Somebody said to Brother Big J's son, he stands right behind me. I sit right there. He blows a hair off the back of my head. After he sings, I can feel his breath on my neck. He gives it everything he's got. I don't worry whether or not he's on key. I turn around and I look at him and say, let her rip, boy.
Amen.
I'm more concerned with their effort than I am their quality. Are y'all all right? I love to see kids singing their heart out as unto the Lord. get out of it what you want out of it. The way we think determines what we see or receive. The way we think. Have you ever went into something with a bad attitude? I've been to churches before. I preach all over this country. I've walked into places for the very first time. I got to be careful. I forgot we were on the interweb. I'll just put it this way. I had a friend of mine got me into a meeting. He called me and said, "Preacher so-and-so had somebody cancel, and we're going to be here, and he wants to know if you'll come." And I said, "Well, I don't know. I'm already busy. He said, "Brother, if you could do this, it'd be a blessing." I said, "Well, I'll come." I walked in. They had a glass or plexiglass pulpit. Strike number one. I'm sorry, I think they're effeminate. I like a pulpit made out of wood. I walked in, they had this little plexiglass lectern, and I went, "Oh, no. What have you got me into?" Then they marched the choir in, and they all had on long, matching, flowing robes. And I looked at my dear friend that hornswoggled me into this meeting, and I said, "I'm going to kill you." And that choir started singing, and they got about halfway through that first song. Them people were shouting all over that place. I looked over at my friend, and I said, "I'm sorry." I had a preconceived notion about what was fixing to take place just because of what I saw. Are you following? I was already thinking, "How am I going to preach after this?" Many years ago, I was preaching a meeting in North Carolina, and it was somebody had preached, and they were going to sing, and then I was going to preach, and the preacher got up and he said, "So-and-so is going to come sing, or these so-and-sos are going to come sing, and then Brother Eddie will come preach." And these three ladies came down the aisle, and they walked by the front row where I was, and I went, "Oh, you know how you do." They were wearing what we used to call dusters. Some of you ladies know what I'm talking about, a house dress. They didn't have on church shoes. They had on house shoes. I kid, and I'm talking about, y'all know it was at New Man. I'm talking about a great, great church. And I'm sitting there going, "What am I going to do about this?" And they got up to sing. And they opened their mouth, and heaven came out. By the time they got done, I felt about that big. Are you listening? I formed an attitude. Now, if I wasn't careful, that attitude would rob me of a great blessing. Those three ladies, one of them's in heaven now, became dear friends of mine. And I'd rather have them sing than I had the winner of the Dove Awards. I'd rather have Patsy Henderson stand here tonight and sing "There's Not a Friend Like the Lowly Jesus." Woo! I'm telling you, than the one on top of the gospel charts. If you're not careful, you'll develop an attitude about something going in that you'll miss the blessing of. Amen. When I was a kid, some of y'all, this will tell my age, but there was a character on TV by the name of Flip Wilson. Y'all remember Flip Wilson and Gerald Dick? Yeah, the devil made him do it. Flip Wilson had a saying, "What you see is what you get. What you see is what you get." I wonder how many times you come in church and you see trash on the floor. Or you see a bus kid not behaving or acting the way he ought to do. And that's what consumes your mind.
Amen.
Are you sitting in church? Some people kill me. They got to tell me after church. You wouldn't believe how many people's on their cell phone. What are you paying attention to?
Yeah.
Are you paying attention to who's texting, or are you paying attention to the text?
Amen.
I don't give a rip what my neighbor's doing. I come to get something from God. what you see is what you get. I want to show you a few things about your attitude and my attitude tonight that I hope will be a blessing to you. Number one, if you're taking notes, your attitude is your choice. Your attitude is your choice. Don't you for one second think that somebody forced that bad attitude on you. Your attitude is your choice. If you're sour and you're critical, it's because you choose to be. I do not want to be that guy. Y'all remember Gulliver's Travels? I got to get up with the times. There was that one little guy that always running around.
We'll never make it.
Oh no, we're doomed. We'll never. Did you ever get around people like that? It's just negative. I can't stand that. If all you've got something negative to say, stay away from me. I try to stay positive. I try to stay on top side. And you get around people for 10 minutes with a bad attitude, and they'll bring you down. Let me tell you something. If you live the majority of your life with a bad attitude, you can change that thing tonight. Why? Because it's your choice. I remember hearing a story about a mother and her daughter. They've been school shopping. They'd been school shopping all day long. Mama was tired. Mama was ill. They walked out of the shoe store and that mother said, "Who? Did you see the dirty look that cashier gave me?" The little girl said, "No, Mom. You had that look when we came in." Are y'all all right? The attitude you have right now is by your choice. I'll be honest with you, I got a pretty good attitude. Amen.
Right.
I sit here watching those kids.
Amen.
Woo, woo. Brother Jeremy's little old girl standing right behind Brother Freddie. She's standing there. How old is she? 9 years old. She's standing there singing, "He Knows My Name." Tears just rolling down her face. I said, "Lord of God, I want double what she's at. Father, I'll take what she's got and Biggie's side." Amen. Hallelujah. I choose to have a good attitude. I'll be honest with you. I could look around and find something to gripe about tonight. I could fuss and gripe about who ain't here. You ever got in a service where a preacher gets up and he's mad because half the crowd ain't there? Boy, you're really telling them, ain't you? Duh, they ain't there. Don't beat up the ones who are glad. Amen. It blows your mind how many times, Sunday after Sunday, week after week, I hardly get out of my truck. "Preacher, can I talk to you?" I come in here chomping at the bits like a South Georgia bird dog on point, man. I'm ready to go like a horse ready to charge out the gate. Somebody wants to ruin my spirit with some horrible news. It ain't never. "Preacher, guess what?" "It's always going to talk to you." Can it wait after I preach?
Yeah.
I have to guard my spirit. And I have to guard my attitude.
Yeah.
I remember in my younger days that people would really upset me and make me mad. And then I'd get up to preach and rip everybody's face off. All because of one person.
Amen.
That's wrong. You say again, that's wrong. By the way, man, you have a bad day at work, you come home and jump down your wife's throat, shame on you. You say again, shame on you. It ain't her fault you had a bad day. And ladies, it ain't your husband's fault if you had a bad day. Found out if you can't be nothing but sour and critical, keep your mouth shut. Amen. Your attitude is your choice. Number two, this will go quickly tonight. Your attitude will determine your approach to life. Your attitude will determine your approach to life. Just like I said, we go into things so many times with a preconceived notion. Well, this ain't going to be. Well, of course it's not. If you've got your mind made up to begin with, it's not going to be good. I promise you, it's not going to be good. Are you okay? Your attitude will, hey, listen, I go into places, I hate the internet. Let's say in the past, I've had to preach with some guys, I love them, but don't care for them. Is it okay to put it that way?
Yeah.
They're just not my favorite people to be around. And I certainly hate it when I have to preach after them.
Yeah. Right.
And I get this preconceived notion in my head of how it's going to be. And it never fails when I get to thinking like that. Oh, they'll get up and bless your socks off. I say, oops. Sorry, Lord. Your attitude will determine your approach to life. Have you ever met anybody or do you know anybody? They're happy all the time. No matter what, they're just in a good mood. Make you want to vomit, don't they? I mean, it doesn't matter what's going on. Hey, how you doing? I mean, they're always up. They're always positive. They're always got a good attitude. Hey, your attitude will determine your approach to life. Hey, listen, did you know you can do something you dread doing or don't like doing and have a good time doing?
Right. Yeah. Right.
If you got the right attitude.
Yeah.
Hey, you can have a good time doing something you don't enjoy if you'll have the right attitude.
Right.
This ain't shouting, jumping pews tonight, but hey. Then there's people who would always say, we can have a service like we had last Sunday morning. Brother Oz, I didn't even get to preach. This altar stayed full from the time the choir started singing till we dismissed. There was people testifying, getting right with God, getting right with each other. And then I looked around the building and people sitting there like, I'd hate to be you. I sat right there in that chair and bowed my head and said, thank you, Lord, that I'm not them. Thank you, Lord, that I can actually sit here and lift my hand and say, woo, this is good. I'm glad I'm not sitting here with my arms crossed trying to find something wrong with everything.
That's wrong.
I look around here tonight. I sat on the platform. I looked out there and seen Bo's mama. Way back, honey. Oh, if you could have seen her a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
In ICU on life support.
Yeah.
Didn't think she was coming out of there. That's sense in church.
Yeah.
Woo! Hallelujah. Your attitude will determine your approach to life. I read a story years ago about a grandfather who went to stay a week with his daughter and his grandchildren. The grandfather went in to take a nap and she had two little twin boys, and they was very mischievous, and they got in the refrigerator and got some Limburger cheese. Granddaddy had a big old thick mustache. And they went in there while Granddaddy was asleep and rubbed that Limburger cheese. That's that stinky cheese. They rubbed that Limburger cheese in his mustache. Well, Papa woke up from his nap, and he's laying there in the bed, and he said, man, this room stinks. Got up and he went in the living room and decided to sit down and read the paper. He picked up the paper and said, woo, this living room stinks too. He went in the kitchen, started talking to his daughter, and he said, woo, man, it stinks in the kitchen too. He said, I'm going outside. He walked outside and said, ah! He said, the whole world stinks. What in the world? It was his upper lip. Some of you run around with the attitude of how bad life stinks. Maybe it's just your upper lip.
Yeah.
I guarantee you there's some goodness and good things around you if you look for. Amen. I'm telling you, we found things to rejoice in here today. God's been good. You said again, God's been good. Hallelujah. Some of them teenagers, wasn't very long ago, I'm talking about them that sung tonight, they was out in the world. They was out there doing wicked stuff and living in sin. But now tonight, they stand up there singing for the honor and the glory of God. What are you saying? I'm saying get the limb. hamburger cheese off your lip, and let's realize how good God is tonight. And worship Him. Check the attitude. Your attitude, it's your choice. Your attitude will determine your approach to life. Thirdly, your attitude will determine your relationship with others. Your attitude will determine your relationship with others. Had a man approach me one time. And again, I'm going to be careful. I had a man approach me one time, Brother Robbie. He said, "I'm leaving the church." I said, "Why?" He said, "I ain't got no friends." I said, "Well, there's 400 or 500 around here. Pick you one." He said, "Don't nobody like to hang around me." I said, "I bet your family don't either." Had a guy visit our church. I went to shake his hand. He stuck his hand in his pocket. I said, "Hey, how are you doing?" He said, "Is it any of your business?" Honest, that's what he said. He said, "Is it any of your business?" I thought. I ain't gonna tell you what I thought. And I got to notice that several people in the church tried to shake his hand and did the same thing to them. I'd hate to know I lived my life that crazy. That miserable. That guy will die all by himself somewhere. Amen. Your attitude will determine your approach to life. Some of y'all, Ashley, Melissa, don't leave nobody out. Some of y'all remember, we took a trip one year to New York. Y'all remember that? We went to New York City on our Greyhound bus. Us and New Man, we had 130 teenagers. Our bus broke down in Maryland. We had to spend the night in a truck stop. No air conditioning. We had to sleep. We couldn't afford to put 130 teenagers in a hotel. There we was on a bus. 90-something degrees. It was hot. I never heard so much belly aching and complaining in my life. But I got to looking around, and there was 4 or 5 boys having the time of their life. Mitch Noble, Jeff Mays, I forget who all. Them boys was into everything. That lady at the truck stop said, "Is there any way you can keep them boys out of the store?" I said, "Ma'am, have they tore something up?" She said, "No, but they're preaching to everybody that comes in the door." Got more of these pamphlets around here. It was gospel track. I went over and I grabbed Mitch. I said, "What are y'all doing?" He said, "We evangelize in this truck." He said, "Before the sun comes up, every trucker in this place is going to get 40 again." I thought, well, glory to God, that's the attitude to have. You see, no matter where you are, there you are. Amen. You might as well make the best of it. Amen. Are you okay? Your attitude is your choice. Your attitude will determine your approach to life. Your attitude will determine your relationship with others. Listen, we're in the people business. Amen. We say it again, we're in the people business. Amen. Bankers look at the bottom line. We got to look at people. It's about people. Stanford Research Institute said that 87% of success is people knowledge. 87% of success is people knowledge. While only 13% is how-to knowledge. Listen, I believe that's true with all my heart. You know why? Because people don't care how much you know.
That's right.
You can know the Bible from cover to cover. You can quote it like Sammy Adams if you got a bad attitude. Are you listening? You can take this Bible. It's a two-edged sword. You can take this Bible and do more harm with it than you do good. Amen. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Amen.
I'm getting high in this pulpit and I'm scold you a little bit. You know why I'm doing that? I've been here 23 years.
That's right.
You know I love you.
Yes.
And I'm not going anywhere. And I'm saying, bless God, you need to get right. You need to do right.
Yes, sir.
Are we okay?
Amen.
Your attitude will determine your relationship with others. Listen, the only person that can make you happy is you. Let me say it again. The only person who can make you happy is you.
Amen.
I don't know how many times I've sat in my office with a young couple and the wife say, he's not making me happy. Or the husband says, she's not making me happy. And I always say the same thing. It's not their job. Got quiet, huh?
Yeah.
Look at me, man. You think your wife's job will make you happy?
Yeah,
ladies, it's not your husband's job to make you happy. Going down a little sideways, ain't it? Like a potato chip that didn't get chewed up really good. Your spouse's job is not to make you happy. Your job is to make them happy. If you quit focusing on your happiness and focus on hers or his, you might find that yours will turn around.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Good.
Are we okay? In other words, don't worry about things you can't change.
Amen.
I've seen more wives all tore up because they can't change their husband. You can't. I've seen more husbands get on fire for God and get upset because their wife wasn't up to par where they were spiritually. You can't change people. God changes people. You ask God to do a work in your heart and let him worry about everybody else.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. True.
This is going in one ear and out the other, son. I guarantee you, some of you get on this altar now and say, God, help me with my attitude.
Amen.
Help me, God, to have the right attitude and the right outlook on life.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Your attitude is your choice. Your attitude will determine your approach to life. Your attitude will determine your relationship with others. Number four, your attitude can turn your problems into blessings. Your attitude can turn your problems into blessings. Do you know what a problem is? Do you know what a problem is? Did you know every problem in the Bible or every miracle in the Bible started with a problem?
Amen.
Every miracle in the Bible started with a problem. A lack of something.
Amen.
Something's hurt, something's sick, something's dead. Every problem, we got a big problem. Well, that's good. You're a candidate for a miracle.
Amen.
Let me tell you what problems are. Problems are predictors. They're predictors. They have the ability to predict what we will become by the way we respond to them. I've seen problems come in people's life and God use it and they come out 10 times better for it. I've seen problems come in other people's life and they blame God and get bitter and they're never right with God. Problems are reminders. They remind us that we all need God and that we'll always have problems.
Amen.
Problems are a part of life.
Amen.
Amen. So we might as well be prepared. Problems are opportunities. Every problem gives us a chance to do better and become stronger. Problems are blessings. Almost every spiritual blessing begins with a trial or a problem. Problems are lessons. Each one will teach us something about life, something about ourselves. And we learn from our problems. Problems are everywhere. You think you've got troubles? Look around. You say, preacher, you just don't know what I'm going through. I promise you I can find somebody that's got it tougher than you do.
Right.
Bet I can.
Amen.
Bet I can. We can load up on a bus tonight and go to Scottish Rite. I find you somebody. I find you somebody that's going through it tougher than you all. Take you down to the rescue mission tonight. I'm showing you somebody's got it tougher than you do. You're worried about where you're going to eat tonight. Which restaurant? They're worried about where they're going to sleep. Which breeze? Problems are everywhere. Problems are messages. Every problem sends a message to us, like lights on a dashboard. So something's wrong. We need to pay attention. As problems are solved. With God, all things are possible. Your attitude can turn your problems into blessings. Fifthly, and I'm done tonight, your attitude will help you handle your problems. Your attitude will help you handle your problems. If you've got the right attitude, and you're right with God, and your spirit's right with God, when problems come, you say, hey, it's all right.
Yes, sir.
It's all right. With God, all things are possible.
Amen.
The wrong attitude says, I can. I remember working with one of the deacons at White Oak Springs when I was a teenager. And the deacon, Brother Kenneth Corrin, asked me to do something, and I said, I can. And he wheeled on me and stuck his finger in my face and said, don't let me ever hear that come out of your mouth again. I thought I slipped and cut. I said, Kenneth, what did I say? He said, you said, I can. He said, I can't. He's not welcome on my job. He said, if you couldn't do it, I wouldn't ask you to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Some of us have the attitude. Well, I just can't. This, I'm so tired of this. I'm fed up to hear with this. Well, this is just the way I am. This is just the way I am. You're going to have to accept me as I am. No, I ain't. Don't force your bad attitude on everybody else.
Amen.
And people have that attitude. And people say this all the time. Well, I can't help it. If it goes through my mind, it comes out my mouth. No, it don't.
Sorry.
I used to say that too when I was a teenager. Well, I'm sorry. It's just my vocabulary. It wasn't when Mama was around.
Amen.
You can't control what comes out of your mouth. Granny used to say, if you can't say something good, don't say nothing at all. Just keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
Keep your fingers shut.
Yeah.
Keep your thumbs shut.
Yeah.
If you ain't got something good to say, don't say it.
Amen.
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 People kill me. A member of this church ain't got to get on the interweb with bad mouth.
Come on. Yeah.
If you had to cut that right, you here?
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Amen. God give us a good attitude.
Amen.
Lord, let us see the good in what you're doing. Instead of rejoicing over people being born again, we've got to find something wrong with everything. Listen, if that was my choice tonight, I could find something wrong with Jason. All I got to do is ask Daphne. I guarantee she'd give me a list. I promise you can find something wrong with you. You ain't got to ask Sister Angie to find something wrong with me. All you got to do is hang around me 5 minutes. We can find something wrong if that's what we want. What I choose to do.
Amen.
Amen. Our attitude, it'll help us handle our problems. The right attitude says, well, I blew it, but I'm going to try it again.
Amen.
With God, all things are possible.
Amen.
We can have a good attitude. Parents, next time you go to pop your finger at one of these kids, one of these teenagers, and tell them, you better get that attitude in order, why don't you check your... Why don't you check your... I heard a parent standing in this sanctuary say within the last 2 weeks, hey, you better watch that attitude, young lady. And I thought, y'all all right? Hey, I have to check mine. I have to watch myself very hard. I am, and I'm done preaching. I am When I go into a restaurant, I don't mind paying the price. Whatever I order on the menu, if it's $12.95, that's fine. But I expect service.
Yes, sir. That's right. Amen.
And I have a hard time with my attitude. Levi and I were in Louisville. It was in Kentucky. We went to a Jimmy John's Subway sandwich shop. You ain't never been to Jimmy John's. It's all right. I like that thing. I ordered my sandwich, and normally I go to Subway where you stand there and tell them whatever you want on it. You get what you get there. Well, that boy had my sandwich done, and I said, "That thing got mustard and mayonnaise on it." He said, "No, sir." I said, "Well, put me some mustard and mayonnaise on there." The little boy looked at me and he said the worst two words he could have said. He said, "I can't." I'm standing there looking at a gallon jug of mayonnaise and a gallon jug of mustard. I said, "What do you mean you can't?" Levi's kicking. I said, "Yeah, you can. It's right there." He said, "No, you don't understand it. I can't." I said, "Give me the knife, dude." He said, "No, we can't do that." And he starts handing me all these squirt packs. I said, "I don't want to squirt all that on there. Put me some mustard." Put some baptizing in it. Finally, he said, "It's against company policy." If he just said that to start with, I guess it's illegal for the knife to touch the meat. I don't know. It was against the rule. I understood that part, but I didn't understand. With a gallon jug of mayonnaise and a gallon jug of mustard, I can. I had to watch it. I had to go back and thank the young man before I left. I threw all my stuff away after eating and said, "Hey, I appreciate y'all. Thank you." We sat there at lunch today. We wanted to see Levi and Cora and Mason before we went on vacation, so we went down here to LaBamba's to eat lunch. We sat there waiting on the table for about 20, 30 minutes, seemed like 45. There's a whole room full of tables with nobody sitting there. I'm thinking, "Watch yourself, boy." Then we finally got to the table. We sat there. Ain't brought us no salsa. Ain't brought us no chips. Ain't took our drink order. Finally, this little girl comes and said, "Has anybody took y'all's drink order?" And I said, "No, ma'am." Hey, I could have been. We get opportunities to be ugly all day.
Amen.
But that's not an excuse to do it. We can have a good attitude. I kept my mouth shut. We got our drinks, we got our salsa, we got our chips, we got our food, and we had a great time of fellowship. I could have ruined all of that by just losing. See, how many of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about?
Amen.
You know what? At the end of it, the bill was still the same.
That's right. Amen.
We might adjust the tip a little bit. The bill was still the same. What I'm trying to say is, let's check our attitude. Not just our teenagers. Our teenagers get harped on all the time about their attitude. I'll be honest with you, we got some kids with a pretty good attitude.
Amen.
They do. I don't hear them griping about nothing. They're a good bunch of teenagers.
Amen.
I kind of like to have their back.
Amen.
Amen. If some of our moms and dads, I'd worry about it.
Yes.
Teenagers sit in church on the edge of their seat. Amen, brother. That's good. They get up in this choir and they sing their hearts out. It's mom and dad I look at, they're sitting out there going, "Amazing." If we had half a heart of kids,
amen.
Amen. Let's stand our feet together. About the tour is coming, send me an invitation. You understand? no doubt in my mind, God put this message on my heart tonight. How's your attitude? Hey, from the pulpit to the back row of the balcony, we have to check our attitude every now and then. If we're not careful, we let circumstances and life make us nasty. We don't want to be nasty. Let's work on that attitude. God's been too good for us to be anything else.